Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at the 2025 Boeing Machinist Strike with IAM District 837. But, we're not just doing a labor update here. We're actually using this whole situation, this high-pressure event, almost like a corporate truth serum.
Exactly, like a stress test for their public claims.
Right, to see what holds up when things get tough.
And, well, what we found in the source material pretty quickly were three, frankly, quite shocking areas where the official story just didn't line up with the facts.
Okay.
We saw it in their financial statements. We saw it in their claims about keeping production going. And also in how they talked about government oversight. Real disconnects.
Okay, let's start with the money then, the financials. I saw something about conflicting statements from Boeing on the same day, October 29th.
Yeah, that's right. Same day. It's pretty striking. During the Q3 earnings call for investors, CEO Kelly Ortberg basically said the strike's financial hit was immaterial.
Immaterial. Okay. So not a big deal for the bottom line is what they're signaling.
That's the message for Wall Street, yeah. But, and here's the kicker, on that exact same day, their official legal filing with the SEC, the government disclosure, that filing warned that a prolonged strike could be materially impacted. Materially.
Wait, so immaterial to investors, but potentially material meaning significant enough to matter in the legal filing. That sounds like, saying two different things.
It is.
Yeah.
A huge difference in language and implication. And remember, by October 29th, the strike had already been going on for almost 3 months. It wasn't exactly hypothetical anymore.
So why the difference?
Well, timing is everything, isn't it? That same day, Boeing also dropped this massive $4.9 billion pre-tax charge for the 777X program. Completely unrelated commercial side.
Ah, the old kitchen sink maneuver.
Exactly. You throw all the bad news out at once, maybe hoping the smaller defense strike costs get kind of lost in the noise of the bigger commercial problem.
Yeah.
Divert the attention.
Okay, so that's the financial contradiction. What about the second point? The operational claims. Boeing was saying their contingency plan, using replacement workers, was working fine, right? Production flowing smoothly.
That was the official line, yes. They assured everyone production continuity was maintained.
What?
But the facts say otherwise. And this wasn't from an internal leak. This was from their customer, the U.S. Air Force.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Air Force Chief of Staff-Elect General Kenneth Wilsbach stated in written testimony, this was October 9th, that deliveries of the F-15EX Eagle II fighter jets are, quote, delayed due to the ongoing Boeing strikes.
Delayed. Okay, that directly refutes the continuity claim then. You can't have continuity and delays caused by the strike.
Precisely. It's a direct contradiction confirmed by a high-level military customer.
And this isn't just about schedules, is it? We're talking fighter jets. Complex, critical national security hardware.
Right. And they're being worked on, reportedly, by an untrained and hastily recruited workforce. That's a phrase that popped up in the sources.
Untrained. On fighter jets. That sounds risky.
Yeah.
Especially, isn't Boeing already under scrutiny, like with the FAA?
That's the really concerning context, yes. They're already under a separate federal audit by the FAA because of safety culture failures on their commercial airplane lines.
So issues on the passenger jet side and now using replacement workers on military jets, it raises serious questions.
It definitely does. Which brings us to the third point, this attempt to sort of bring regulators into it.
How so?
Well, Boeing Vice President Dan Gillian publicly talked about a partnership with the Defense Contract Management Agency, the DCMA.
The DCMA. They're the government folks who check defense contractor quality, right? Make sure things are built correctly.
That's them. Gillian claimed the DCMA was providing a second set of eyes, basically vouching for the quality of the work being done by these replacement workers.
Okay, a second set of eyes from the government watchdog. That sounds reassuring if it's true.
If it's true, that's the crucial part. We looked, and there's just no public statement, no confirmation from the DCMA itself backing up this partnership claim related to the strike situation. Zero.
So Boeing is invoking the DCMA's credibility, but the DCMA hasn't publicly confirmed they're playing that specific role here.
It certainly appears that way.
Right.
It looks like an attempt to borrow the regulator's authority, maybe as a shield against future quality problems.
Mm-hmm. And did lawmakers notice this?
Oh, yes. Some members of the Senate Armed Services Committee voiced serious concerns. They called the replacement worker strategy a dangerous path and warned it was unnecessarily endangering our warfighters. Strong words. So pulling it all together for you, the listener, what we see is that the strike really did act like that truth serum we talked about.
Yeah.
It forced Boeing into making specific testable claims. And when you compare those claims to independent data, like the Air Force testimony or Boeing's own SEC filings, you find these really significant gaps between the corporate story and, well, reality.
That's the big takeaway. The pressure revealed the contradictions. But, you know, I want to leave you with something to think about.
Okay.
Boeing publicly name-dropped the DCMA, right? Called them a partner, the second set of eyes on quality during this high-risk period.
They did.
So, given that public claim by Boeing, what does the DCMA's continued, very public silence on this specific issue actually tell us? What does it signal about the real dynamic between a major defense contractor and its government overseer when things get tough? Who's really watching the watchers? Something to consider. That's all for this deep dive.